church bell that calls, it calls us to prepare. The sanctuary's warm and friendly faces everywhere. We slip into a wooden pew and sit in silent prayer.
Please join me in the call to worship. Take heart, for we have gathered in the Creator's presence.
To proclaim the wonders of the Lord.
Get up, for we are beckoned by the risen sun.
To respond to grace and deserve.
God is calling us, for we are united by the Spirit.
To follow Jesus on the way.
Come, let us worship God. Let us pray. Ever calling God, we give thanks that you have gathered us into your church and graced us with your faithful presence. We ponder our history, ancient and still developing, and marvel at the many expressions of your church. Grant us the vision to be a part of this new moment in your church that will bring ever more joy and justice to the world. Continue to gather us, the diverse lot of us, into Jesus's vision and dream that your faithful people may be one in you. Amen.
Grace and peace be unto you. We welcome you to worship at Plymouth Congregational Church, United Church of Christ, this 24th Sunday after Pentecost. And know that in this place, no matter who you are or where you are on this journey of life, you are welcome in this place. Yes, you are welcome here. If you are black, brown, white, or any other color in the beautiful spectrum of God's creation, yes, that means you are welcome here. If you are wealthy, if you are just making it, or if you are economically challenged, yes, you are welcome here. If you come to this place this morning filled with assurances or filled with doubts, know that you are welcome here in this place. No matter who you love, know that you are welcome in this place. If you have only 2 Facebook friends or 4,500 Facebook friends, yes, you are welcome in this place. If your status is single, married, it's just complicated, or none of your business, you are welcome in this place. If you are worshiping with us in the sanctuary located at 232 East Onondaga Street, or if you are worshiping in the sanctuary of your home, online, or in the car, know that you are welcome here in this place. Yes, you, welcome one, welcome all to Plymouth Church, and let the people of God say,
Amen.
So I want to first invite you to community time following worship today. And we know the weather is a little bit chilly, but those who are willing to brave it out a little bit will put our coats on, and there should be coffee set up outside. And we will gather for a few moments for conversation and coffee and tea that'll warm us up and allow us to be able to build community. So we're hoping that you'll be our special guest and join us. Also, if you are worshiping with us online, today is Communion Sunday. Communion Sunday, where we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. And we invite you, if you are worshiping online with us live right now, take a moment and grab your elements of bread and cup so you might be able to partake in our Lord's Supper together during the time of Holy Communion, which will take place a little bit later on in the worship experience today. Also, please do, if you have not already, check your inbox, if you have not already, for the November Plymouth Story. The November Plymouth Story has arrived, and it's chock full of information and opportunity. So we encourage you, if you have not seen it yet, to check your inbox and to read the November Plymouth story. And then fourthly, one of the things that we believe at Plymouth is that God is expansive. God is expansive, and not just limited to one gender. But I just want to acknowledge that in the call to worship today, you might see Father written in the bulletin, and I just want to encourage you to scratch that out and write the word Creator, because God is expansive, and we were not able to address that prior to after printing. So please do cross that out and just simply write in the word Creator, because God is expansive and beyond the confines of just one gender. And thank you to my beloved for being able to speak, as being able to incorporate that as well into what was printed here on the lectern. Also, if you look in your bulletins, I want to draw your attention to Armistice Day. Armistice Day is taking place on November the 11th, and Veterans for Peace invite all who wish to commemorate the true meaning of Armistice Day to gather at the World War I soldier statue in Billings Park at the corner of South Salina and East Adams on Thursday, November 11th, from 10:30 to 11 for a vigil. And the mayor will also be there to sign the proclamation for Armistice Day. So we hope that you can join us as we think about peace. Some of you may remember that on October the 7th, we had a Work for Justice rally with the downtown churches in the city of Syracuse, where our downtown churches came together to demand an end to systemic racism, confront ecological devastation, and militarism. So we are continuing in that spirit of coming together as downtown churches to work for peace and to work for justice. And there's going to be a Save the Earth rally on Sunday, next Sunday, November the 14th, at 11:30 a.m. It'll start at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in downtown Syracuse, and we will watch over at 12 o'clock p.m. To Park Central Presbyterian Church. And then at 12:30 p.m., we will be at the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception. And then finally, 1 o'clock p.m. at Plymouth Church. So please do join us if you can. Your presence would be most appreciated, as well as your voice in solidarity. So those are our announcements this morning. And now I say these words to you that you hear every Sunday. Peace be unto you.
And also with you.
Let us now come together as a reconciled body in Christ and welcome each other to worship through the passing of the peace. So now is the time for the story for all ages, and I'm going to invite our children to come forth and join me up here at the communion table at this time. Come on up for the story for all ages. And I'm going to ask that you sit right in front of the table, just like we did last week.
Yeah.
Come on up, Malcolm and Chloe. All right. Just Chloe's going to come. All right. Good morning. It is so good to see you today. Well, in a few moments, you're going to hear today's scripture. And today's scripture
is about a man who could not physically see named Bartimaeus. And Jesus was coming into town, and he was on the road passing by. And this person was blind and he could not see. And he was also poor. He didn't have a lot of money. So he had a hard time trying to be able to get the things that he needs, like access to good food, a place to live. That's good. Also water. So he had to ask other people for help to get those things. And while he was sitting there on the road, Jesus comes by. And the people in the crowd weren't very nice to him. They said to him, when Jesus was near, he asked for help, and they said, "Be quiet." Was that very nice? No, that wasn't very nice. But instead of listening to them, you know what he did? He spoke up even louder, and he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He called out to Jesus louder. And do you know what Jesus did? Jesus asked him to come over here. Jesus said, "Call him here." And Jesus healed him. And you know, there are times in our life where, yes, there are times where we are quiet and we should listen when others are speaking, such as our teachers, our parents, and even our friends. But then there are times when we should speak up. When do you think we should speak up, Chloe? When someone can't hear us. Very good. When you're in class, yeah, so people can hear you. Yes, when we need help. It is very important when we need help to speak up. Even when you feel like, well, I shouldn't ask for help, you should speak up and ask for help, because we are in this together. When else should we speak up? Yeah, when you're in a crowd and you're so far back and a lot of people around you, yeah, you got to speak up so your friends, families, and others can hear what you have to say. And I'll tell you one other time when we should speak up. When we feel like we're mistreated, we should speak up. And when we see others being mistreated, we should also speak up and say something. Could you say that again? I can't hear you, Ronaldo. Yep, or you could just stand up to them. But when we see others being mistreated, we should also speak up for them, stand up for them. And that is important. So there are times to be quiet, and then there are times when we should what? We should speak up. Yes, be loud. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we give thanks for our voice. Let us remember that we have a voice that needs to be heard. Give us the courage to speak up when we should. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, you can return to your seats.
Listen now for the word of God from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, But he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well. Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. O God, your word is more precious than fine gold and sweeter than purest honey. We have read your scripture and now proclaim your word. Send your Holy Spirit to infuse your word with truth and grace, so that the good news of your love would shine before our eyes and delight our senses, so that we cannot help but respond with wonder, with faith, and with trust. Amen. To center us this morning, I'm going to lift up the 48th verse this morning. Our text, the 10th chapter of Mark. And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the man who was blind, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up, he is calling you." And that is from the North American, New American Standard Bible. So, wait, there's more. Well,
this summer, I was blessed with the opportunity to visit my uncle in Knoxville, Tennessee. My uncle is a consummate and extravagant host. So he promised us an opportunity to be able to try out his new virtual reality gaming system and his immunity building ginger beverage that was so delicious that I would want to drink it every day. And upon my arrival, we caught up on old times and the things that we have missed since not being able to gather with one another. And of course, we tried out the Xbox, and I did not know what to expect of it, but needless to say, that virtual reality, golfing, and bowling left me with a sweat, to say the least. But then, after that was complete, we thought that it was time to go, or the evening was going to wind down. But then my uncle says, wait, there's more. And to our pleasant surprise, he took us on a tour of the grounds of his new residence where he lives. We thought it was done, and we were just gonna wind down. But then he said, but wait, there is more. And immediately he pulled out a video. He said, hey, to Darnisa, do you want to see Eric when he was younger? I got a nice video of him out of nowhere. And needless to say, in that moment, my eyes started to tighten up a little bit. And blood pressure started to rise a little bit. And it turned out, I didn't know what he was going to show from my childhood, if I was running around with my pants down or what. Well, I would never do such a thing, but I want to be very, very clear. I would never do such a thing and have not done such a thing as a child and never plan on doing that as an adult. But it's an example of an embarrassing moment. And he showed a video, happened to show a video of my 80th birthday celebration for my grandmother. And that was a joyous, joyous occasion where I got to serve as master of ceremony for that. But then after that was done, we thought that we were going to wind down a little bit and relax and maybe prepare ourselves to transition to rest. And he said, wait. There's more. And this concept, there is more, perfectly captures the essence of our text. When this text now is commonly preached about Bartimaeus, usually it is told from the perspective of Bartimaeus's healing. You know, we hear about how Bartimaeus was healed and he was persistent and so on and so on and so on. But this morning we will venture like the Robert Frost poem and journey down the road not taken so often, and we'll explore the question of what does Bartimaeus, the crowd, and Jesus show us about the nature of faith this morning. So first, let's start our journey by spending a little time sitting on the side of the road with Bartimaeus for a little bit. So we meet Bartimaeus, and he is on the side of the road. And this road, beloved, is no ordinary road. It is the road that leads from Jericho to Jerusalem. And the road that leads from Jericho to Jerusalem is a road that is not safe. Robbers would often look to rob people coming in and out of Jerusalem because Jerusalem was the capital. So the assumption was that if you were going to Jerusalem, you had resources. And not only was it not safe because of robbers, that's not all. Also, there were animals, predators, carnivores, such as the equivalent of coyotes, and other predators that would or possibly could attack or look for their meal in the form of a human being or another animal on the Jericho Road. And this road was also a road where impoverished people would spend time seeking charity because they could barely survive. And as you can imagine, their lives were at risk every time they sat or stood on the Jericho Road. But this character before us today, Bartimaeus, who we meet on this road, takes a risk because Bartimaeus has heard about Jesus. And Jesus was understood by many to either be the Messiah, and some thought he was just this spiritual or religious folk healer, and in the very worst and very least was labeled a rabble-rouser. And we don't know what brought Bartimaeus to the side of the Jericho Road, because Bartimaeus knew Jesus was passing through. On the other hand, it could have been that Bartimaeus was present because Bartimaeus was seeking help to be able to have dinner. What we do know is that Bartimaeus cries out from the side of the road. And he cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." But this cry that Bartimaeus offers is not just some sad or pitiful cry out, if you will. Really, according to biblical scholar John J. Piltor, Bartimaeus was saying when asking Jesus for mercy was a lot different than how we interpret mercy. Mercy in the ancient Palestinian world was associated with religious discourse that was essentially expressing that when you ask for mercy, what you are saying is, essentially what Bartimaeus said was, "Jesus, give me my healing." And the most pristine example, image that encapsulates the attitude of Bartimaeus was that Bartimaeus staged a one-person protest on the side of the road for his healing. And when you think about it, we cannot blame Bartimaeus for this. He's been marginalized, living in abject poverty, because Bartimaeus is physically blind and he's been politically, socially, and economically disenfranchised. So Bartimaeus has absolutely nothing to lose and really takes a gamble by confronting Jesus and saying, "Jesus, give me my healing." Now, I want us to change positions for a little bit as we explore the nature of faith as it relates to this text. Now, let's spend a little bit of time with the crowd. The crowd, too, has heard about Jesus. But the good old adage about a congregational church that's been told to me plenty of times is that if you have a membership of 900 members, then there's a good chance you have 900 different perspectives on any given matter. And so it is with the crowd. There are some who are there because they support Jesus and believe in the fullness of Jesus' ministry, that Jesus is the Messiah that was sent by God. But then there were some who heard about Jesus as a folk healer and wanted to see what this was all about. But then the next group are those who were there just to be part of the crowd, kind of like in grade school. Remember how it goes? We'd see a melee outside, or someone might see a crowd outside, and you just want to know what's going on, so you naturally just walk over. But Mark, though, is careful to tell us, though, that some folks in the crowd, not all, tell Bartimaeus to be quiet. And it is very clear that this reaction to Bartimaeus demonstrates that this faction in the crowd does not understand the purpose of Jesus' ministry. Would you disagree with me this morning? No. And what it shows, though, is that blindness is not just physical, but rather there are individuals who cannot physically see, but can actually see a whole lot more better than people who have eyesight. For that crowd, that faction of the crowd demonstrates who really is blind in the text when they tell him, be quiet. For if they understood the nature and purpose of Jesus' ministry, they would get out the way or even help Bartimaeus to be as close to Jesus as they possibly could. But this, beloved, did not stop our Bartimaeus in this text. And Bartimaeus, instead of being afraid that he was going to lose out on some loose change from the crowd that was there, had courage and said, even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when Jesus acknowledges Bartimaeus, there is a radical shift in the attitude of the crowd. Notice what happens to the crowd. They go from saying, be quiet, to now saying, take courage. Some translations say, take cheer. Jesus is calling you. And then Jesus embodies all that Jesus taught, and Jesus acknowledges and knows Bartimaeus, just how God notices and cares for us. And Jesus leans in like a servant and asks, what can I do for you? There was no transaction, no bargaining, no litmus test, no looking at how long have you been a member of this crowd, no question about how much do you give. But Jesus looked at him for God's beloved creation and restored his eyesight. And Jesus says, Bartimaeus' faith has made him well. And then Mark finishes the story by telling us that Bartimaeus did not go back to the side of the road, but Bartimaeus did not follow the crowd wherever it may have dispersed to. No, we are told that Bartimaeus immediately regains his sight and follows Jesus all the way. And Bartimaeus becomes part of the movement to bring the kingdom of God to earth, to usher in the world with Jesus in a new way of being, to build a just world for all that's founded upon God's love. And thank you for journeying with me as we had a view from the side of the road and then a view from the crowd. And now, what does this tell us about faith? I did not forget our $64 million question this morning. What this tells us about faith is that faith is more than optimism. Faith is more than just staying positive as possibly as I can, and then maybe things will get better. Notice Bartimaeus and the crowd all reach a pit stop on their journey. Bartimaeus and the crowd are only curious and hopeful about Jesus. But in this moment, they are given a new perspective. A new perspective. An understanding about Jesus is revealed in a way that was never revealed to them before. They had a change in perspective. And faith, beloved, is more than just optimism, more than just encouragement. But it is embodied through this text by showing us what faith really is that when we think we have read the last period in the story and we think that it is time to close the book, we can have the courage to turn the page and walk into a new chapter with all of its unknowns. Faith is what we do because of what we know about God through Jesus Christ. And theologian Friedrich Buechner sums it up the absolute best, that faith is better understood as a verb than as a noun, as a process than as a possession. It is on again, it is off again, rather than once for all. Faith is not being sure where you're going, but going anyway. A journey without maps. Something I've heard about, especially in thinking about what does this mean for us today as we sit in this pew or we sit on our couch, sit in our car, or walk down the street worshiping. That in every sphere of life I hear, people are so exhausted and patience is so thin. And I say in these times, what this text shows us is that when the gas in the fuel tank feels like it's on empty, and we, beloved, cannot go any further, in these times when we just want to draw a line in the sand and say, this is how it's going to be, my way or the highway, and resign ourselves to stay on the side of the road, in these times that look so different, it is faith that can fuel us and keep us going, because in Christ, through faith, we are opened to the possibility of wait, there is more. The work of following Jesus to bring God's transforming justice and love into the world is something that you and I remain a part of, even when times change, even when doors close. There is a purpose for you and I. A purpose to walk into new beginnings, where we too can turn the page and discover joy once again, so we can be filled and live into our call to fill others. The faction in the crowd that did not understand Jesus and Jesus' mission went from being cold to compassionate. Bartimaeus went from hearing about Jesus to experiencing Jesus, receiving an epiphany about Jesus and becoming part of the movement to bring the kingdom of God to earth. So for us, when we are resigned to stay on the Jericho Road and just remain as we are, it is faith that can lead us to say, wait, there is more. Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Please be seated.
Well, St. Augustine says to us that whole prayer is nothing but love. And you know, beloved, when we pray, we allow ourselves to be gathered up in the arms of God and let God sing her love to us. So now, I invite you, will you pray with me? Our God, who is the source of strength, sustainer of life, giver of every good and perfect gift, the transforming hand of love and justice, who is ever more ready to listen than we are to pray. We come now seeking your steadfast love, to take refuge in the shadow of your wings and to feast on the abundance of your house and to drink from the rivers of your delights. Like children, we have strayed. We have not always taken refuge in the shadow of your wings. We foolishly venture out into the wilderness where we cling to our own impulses, where we place ourselves before others and even you, O God, just like many in the crowd on the road to Jericho. We have ignored the cries of your people who suffer from injustice and brokenness, ignored the systems that create and perpetuate suffering and brokenness. And even in our own suffering and brokenness, have chosen paths that do not lead to you. But we are thankful that your light of precious love is always ready to shine in the dark places of our lives. Your steadfast love always abounds, and the shadow of your wings is ever present, ready to receive us. Not only is your light of love just there for us in thought, but you have shown it, O God, as a verb. And we are thankful that we have seen your light of love in our lives through all of the joys that are shared, have been shared, and will be shared, and the joys that just sit on our hearts. We are thankful that we have seen your light of love in our lives when we do not ask for it. And yes, we are thankful for the joys. We lay before you now, O God, all of the concerns and our joys and our concerns list. And we pray that those who lost loved ones will find comfort and strength. We pray that those who are sick will find healing. We pray that those who are broken will find peace and restoration. We pray that those who are impoverished will receive abundance. We pray that those who are weak will find strength and renewal. We pray that those who are casualties of tragedy will find hope and new beginnings. We lay before you not only our personal concerns, but our hearts that are troubled by injustice in the world, that's plagued by ecological devastation, greed, racism, sexism, homophobia, ageism, violence, and more. So we pray, O Lord, that you come close to all who suffer today and fill them with your living water. Grant us zest in living that no darkness of these times can take away resilience of heart that no fear can destroy. Help us to bear living witness to the triumphant grace and extravagant love of Christ, in whose name we pray, and who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think people know me, but my name is Christine Herb, and my hearing aid is caught up in my mask. There we go. One of the sayings here at Plymouth is welcoming all, growing in faith, working for justice and peace. I love that. November 2019, my daughter challenged me. I was attending a church and she said, "Mom, why are you going to that church? They don't accept gay people, lesbians, transgender people. That is not Jesus. That is not what Jesus taught us. Why are you there?" And I realized, oh my gosh, she's right. Why am I part of this church? And so I set out to look for a church that was truly all loving. And I Googled it, and Plymouth came up. And it was 2 years ago, November 2019, that I first came here. And I was greeted by Sarah Witten, and I knew that I was in the right place. And that was the same month that Eric Jackson had just started serving as pastor, and I was very impressed with his loving spirit. I was looking for a church that radically loved people like Jesus. A church that was inclusive, not exclusive. I didn't want to be at a church that claimed all are welcome, but really meant that you're welcome only if you can change to fit into our mold. I found that authentic, loving church at Plymouth and so much more. I love that Plymouth members put their faith in loving action. I don't only mean loving and caring for each other in the church, as we do, but also loving people in the community we live in. We stand up for and alongside people who are traumatized for who they love, for the color of their skin, for the language they speak, and so much more. When we witnessed how racism fails to honor and respect the living spirit of another human being when George Floyd was murdered, we were deeply hurt, and our response was action to be the change we want to see in the world. We looked at our own racism deep within ourselves as individuals, as a church, and as a community. And we put our core faith in action to be change agents. We were and are, as Jesus taught us by his living example, to be love in action. Stewardship is described as encompassing the ethical responsibility to act on behalf of others and to honor the responsibilities of service rather than to pursue one's own self-interest. Faith is a verb, as Pastor said today. Love is a verb. Stewardship is an expression of our faith and love in action. And now, if you will join me in the stewardship prayer. Holy and merciful God and Jesus Christ the Son, let me be ever ready as your hands on earth. I and all who know you and your commandments, an example, cannot shirk our responsibilities. Where people are poor and prevailing social and political currents do not care enough, where people are hungry and sick, where people live in awful and dangerous domiciles or have no home at all, or fear that their home as it is may not be theirs tomorrow, where people have no clothing other than that which they are wearing, where people are injured and in despair, where the earth and all its creatures and creation cry out for deliverance from human destruction, where people know mostly darkness and sadness and try to maintain hope. I pledge my stewardship gift, when fulfilled, to reach these difficult but not overwhelming needs, and also to support the ministries of Plymouth Congregational Church and the maintenance of its physical structure. I will pray for all this, and I know that your abiding help, my pledged gift, will put my prayer into action, as you are my Lord and Savior. Amen.
And now, let us, with gladness, present the oblations of our life and our labor to our God.
Oh Lord, we give you thanks for these symbols of our life, our love, our labor, and our service. May they be used to help infuse your world with your transforming love and justice. May they be used to inspire, nurture, and grow this community of faith so we can be your light that shines in transforming justice into the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here we are at the table, this table that Jesus has called us to, strangers and friends, locals and visitors, believers and doubters, the certain and the curious. And it is always a mixed company that Jesus gathers and invites us to this table, where in bread and wine Christ meets us. And through him, we who are different are able to be joined to one another at this table. So please, do come, not because you understand, not because you must, but come because you are understood. Come to this table because you may. Come not because how you feel, but because God has food for you that can nourish you like no other. Come not because you deserve a place, but because you have a place, because you are invited by Christ and invited just as you are. This is our Lord's table, and you are invited. This table was set over 2,000 years ago on the night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed and was arrested. He took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then, when the supper was finished, he went in the same manner, took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "This cup is the new covenant." Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as long as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim our Lord's death until he comes again. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and fruit of the vine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may nurture us and strengthen us as the body of Christ. And as we eat this bread and drink this cup, may we never forget your steadfast love, binding us to you and one another everywhere. Through Christ, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, with the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. So on this Sunday, all of our communion elements are gluten-free. So if you have a gluten allergy or prefer not to have gluten, all of the bread is gluten-free. And we invite you, as you receive the bread and the cup, to hold it in your hand. And if you can't hold it in your hand, please do use the holders in the pews so that we can eat this bread and drink this cup together. And I know we use the symbol of wine in the liturgy, but the drink that is in the cup, rest assured, is grape juice. So now, beloved, all things are ready. And now The feast is ready. So now we invite you to partake in it and eat it all up and drink it all up. Not because you must, but because you may. Have all been served who desire to eat and drink at this table. Seeing that we are, I invite you to peel back these two, there are two layers here, I invite you to peel back the top layer. Take the bread. This bread is the body of Christ that is for you. Let us eat together. This cup is the cup of blessing. Let us peel back this second and final layer on the bottom, and let us now drink together. Let us pray. God, in this banquet that we call church, you feed us as hungry guests, so we can host your Monday to Saturday table of love and transforming justice. Thank you for trusting us to find the recipe for our community and your world. Amen. The scriptures tell us that when the supper was finished, Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn and went out into the Mount of Olives. So let us prepare to sing. And while we do not have a Mount of Olives to go to, we return to the world to serve. Thank you. So, beloved, we have entered to worship. And now when we leave this place, that's when our real service begins. And before we go out into the world to serve, I just want to acknowledge and celebrate our choir this morning. You have no idea how much I've missed you, and we are so delighted for you to be able to share the word of God with us through song.
We've missed
Welcome
being here.
Back. And I firmly believe we have the best choir in all of the city of Syracuse. And if anyone disagrees, they know where to find me. So as we prepare to leave this place, remember, faith is more than who we acknowledge, the religious brand that we subscribe to, or faith is more than just encouragement, but faith is a guide for us on this journey. Sometimes it takes us to parts unknown, sometimes to places familiar. But remember, with each new chapter, we can walk with courage because we do not walk alone. Wait, there's more. Hear these words for our benediction. May God bless you and may God keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God give you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good. Grace to remember that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your minds and think through them. May God take your lips and speak through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire through the power of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.